Good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, having victory over being abusive and learning how to not brag and be more content.
Hey, Daniel.
So you should have a handout tonight, and our acrostic is not really an acrostic. We just have three fill in the blanks, so that should be good. And in the front row, I have my sponsor giving me hand signals so that I don't run over. That's my tendency, is to talk longer than I need to. So he's holding me accountable. And I think he has an electronic device too, or maybe even two of them. So I like having that. So our lesson tonight is on daily inventory. And with most lessons, we've got a principle and a step and some Bible verses. So let's get focused and let's read those together. Let's read Principle 7 together. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 10, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So, daily inventory. You know, talking about righting the wrongs you've done is not a real popular topic. I remember my wife and I were at a different church, and we had a Valentine's Day event, and we thought we'd play the newlyweds game. And we had couples from newlyweds to decades old. And one of the questions we asked the wives was, when was the last time that your husband said, "I'm sorry"? And so the wives went around and told their answers. And one wife that had been married for decades said, "Never. He's never said he's sorry." So that kind of shocked me. Yeah. And then the husbands came out, and we asked the husband that had been married decades, when was the last time you said you were sorry? And he said, "Never." And we just kind of thought, well, now we know something about that couple. You know, now we know that if they have an argument or disagreement, I think he probably wins, and she just kind of puts up with it. And if you've been in recovery, you can probably identify that couple as being, what, dysfunctional, right? Because the husband's never said he's sorry. I was born in the 1950s, and as a teenager, there was a real popular movie that won Academy Awards, and it was called Love Story, 1970. Won 7 Academy Awards. Who remembers Love Story? There we go. So half the people know Love Story. And this movie, they had a tagline to the movie, Love Story. And it was, love is never having to say you're sorry. Love is never having to say you're sorry. And that was the tagline. And as a teenager, you know, you kind of believe the movies, and it's won all these awards, so that must be true, right? So if you're in love, you should never have to say you're sorry. But most of us know that relationships have conflict. And it's what we do with the conflict that determines if the relationship is going to be healthy and last, or it's going to go and be broken up. So the world doesn't have all the right answers for saying you're sorry. I kind of grew up in a household where my dad, whatever he said, it was his way or the highway. So my mom could disagree, and she could voice her disagreement, but it was my dad's way. And I just thought, going into my marriage, well, I'm the macho man. I get to make the rules. That doesn't work too well. The woman that I married was, when I married her, was very codependent. So if I offended her, she would let me know a few months later. Then, 20 years ago, she got involved in this thing called Celebrate Recovery, and she found out how to find her voice. And now if I offend my wife, before my words hit the wall, she tells me, "You just offended me. What you said is hurtful. You know, you're prideful, you're conceited, you're selfish, you're narcissist." whatever, she'll tell me that she was offended. And I think in recovery, the more mature you are, the faster you agree with that person that says, I offended, and you say, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't realize that what I just did hurt you so much, and I sure did not want to hurt you, and if I could take those words back, I would take them back. You know, is there anything I can do to make up for it? So how I respond now to being offensive is so much different than I did when I got married or when I started recovery. I was so goofed up when I started Celebrate Recovery that I would tell my wife, you don't even deserve to have those feelings that you're sharing with me. you know, you're sharing your feelings with me, and those are not even valid feelings. And then I found out that's called emotional abuse. And when you hurt somebody, you have to not double down and dig in and deny it. You have to admit it and say, with God's help, I'm not going to make that remark again. Because you need God to act godly. You can't do it by yourself. So that's just a little bit of introduction on saying you're sorry when you've hurt somebody. And the other side of recovery is if you've been offended by somebody, you know, you have to find your voice and you have to make an I statement. You know, I was hurt by what you just said. I was hurt by what I just heard. I was hurt by your behavior. I was hurt by your, you know, I learned that rolling my eyes when my wife makes a comment is offensive. I didn't know that nonverbal was offensive. It is, guys, if someone talks to you and you roll your eyes, you're probably offending somebody. So watch it. So yeah, I've learned quite a bit on being offensive and trying to avoid it and trying to think differently. So there's a process in recovery, and we're having a lesson tonight, and we're on a lesson called Daily Inventory. It's lesson number 20. We've got 26 lessons, so we're kind of heading near the end of our annual number of lessons. And on your handout, the first fill in the blank about inventory is called ongoing inventory. So the O is for ongoing inventory. So I was driving with my wife in the car on, what day was it? Monday or Tuesday. I'm 67, so things are a little fuzzy. It was this week. And she said, look at that house on the left side of the car. And all I could see was this huge trailer in front of the house. And she goes, what do you think about that house? And I said, honey, I only saw the big trailer. And she goes, you mean you didn't even see the house? You mean you didn't even make an effort to see the house? I wanted you to see the house. We just went by it. Why didn't you see it? And so all of a sudden, I discovered that I had offended her by what I didn't see. And so I, instead of arguing with her, I just said, you know, I'm sorry about not seeing that house. It must have been important to you. The next 5 minutes in the car drive were a little quiet and frosty, but then again, because I'd apologized, then I asked, is there anything I can do to make it right? And she said, no, there's nothing you can do. And I said, do you want to go back and see the house? And she goes, no. And then I stopped asking questions. The ladies are getting this. The guys are pretty quiet tonight. I don't know. I think the ladies are progressing in the recovery, and the men are maybe ruminating. You're ruminating on these ideas here. That's good. That's good. I didn't get recovery the first time I heard it either. So the ongoing inventory is as soon as you know that you've offended somebody or that you have been offended, you find your voice and you say something. So if I've offended somebody, I can either tell by their expression or by their voice or their behavior that they've been offended. So if I mature and I realize I've offended somebody, I immediately apologize. And it has to be sincere. It can't just be the words. It has to be heartfelt. Because people can tell if you're not sincere on your apologies. I always like to throw in, at the end of my apology, is there anything I can do to make up for it? Just to be open. And whatever they suggest, you better be ready to do it. Okay. And also, if you have been offended, you have to find your voice and make an I statement and register that you were offended by that behavior or that action, and you don't want to be treated like that anymore. So it's an I statement. If it's a safe person in a safe place, you can do those things. If it's not a safe person, then maybe run. There's a Bible verse, Proverbs 16:23. Can we load that one up? Proverbs 16:23, and let's read this one out loud together. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Proverbs 16:23. So I married a woman who thinks first, edits her thoughts, and then speaks. I grew up in a household where my dad just said the first thought that came into his head. And he was very funny, very sarcastic, and made people laugh. But his sarcasm typically put somebody down and made him look better. So I kind of picked up that trait of saying the first thought that came into my head. And when I went to school, I was always the smallest kid in school. And so bigger people and bullies would make fun of me, and instead of arguing, I would agree with them and exaggerate whatever they said to me to make them laugh, just to be accepted. So, you know, my coping mechanism to be accepted was to use sarcasm and humor so that I wouldn't get hit by the bully and maybe he would be my friend. Not a healthy coping mechanism, just to let you know. But that's what I grew up with. And I have a hard time. My default behavior is just to say the first thought that comes to my mind, which most of the time is not godly. You know, it can be making fun of someone or putting somebody down or just being using sarcasm too much. So I've learned from my wife that I can stop, think internally, edit my thoughts, and then say something. But people that just talk profusely, we call them, they talk first, they talk to think. And it makes for funny episodes. If you've ever watched a Woody Allen movie, a lot of his characters have that attribute. And sitcoms have that attribute too, where people just say the first thought that comes to mind, instead of really considering the weight of their words. But Scripture is giving us wisdom about thinking about the consequence and the weight of our words before we even speak them. So let's go with Scripture instead of what feels natural. So that first fill in the blank was ongoing inventory. You know, I'm taking account of myself. If I'm offending someone, I'm apologizing. If I am offended, I'm finding my voice and making an I statement to stand up for myself, setting a boundary. The next type of inventory that you can do in your recovery walk is D for daily inventory. D for daily inventory. So in the back of the room, we have these handouts, these CR handouts. It's called a daily inventory book. And you're invited to take one. I had done a step study last year called The Journey Continues. And one of the things they asked you to do in that step study was to do this daily inventory. So before you go to bed at night, you ask yourself some questions. Number one, how am I feeling today? You know, what's my overall feeling? Number two, what did I do right today? Or what good did I do today? Or what was something godly that I did today towards other people? Number three, what did I do wrong today? Is there something that I messed up on that I really want to take back, you know, that I regret? Are there any regrets for the day? You know, did someone offend me? Did someone hurt me? Did someone put me down? Did I read a Facebook post and get bent out of shape or listen to the news and raise my temperature a bit? The fourth thing you can write down every day is, do I owe anybody an amends? Do I owe anybody an amends? So on my list, I owe this cyclist an amends. I went to a cycling group on a Sunday. I met this guy out in Hillsboro, and I made a comment to him, and he got pissed off, turned around, and walked away and didn't talk to me. And then on Strava, our social media app, he unfriended me. Clearly, I offended him. When I show up on Sundays, this guy doesn't show up anymore. I don't have his email. I don't have his phone number. I don't have him on Strava. There's no way I can talk to him, but he's on my list. You know, I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. When I find this guy, the next time I find him, I'm going to go up to him and said, you know, the last time we got together, I said something to you and it really hurt you. I could see it really hurt you, and we're no longer friends on Strava, and I want to apologize for my bad behavior. I shouldn't have said those things. So I just want to clear the air and start over. And is there anything I can do to make up for the words that I said that hurt you? So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're making a list of people that we owe amends to. And your sponsor should be asking you, you know, how have you done on your amends list? Is there anything open on your amends list? So you really should have that list. You should be making it. And then, do I need to offer forgiveness to somebody? Has someone hurt me and I haven't told them that they've hurt me yet? You know, is there somebody in my life that has hurt me? It's unresolved conflict, and I've never mentioned it to them. So that's something you can write down in your daily inventory. And then finally, since this is a spiritual program, do you have any prayer requests? Do you have any prayer requests? And one of the neat things is, if you do this practice of this daily inventory, this daily journal, you start to see where you asked for something in prayer and God answered it. 5 minutes? Wow. Good. Good. Thank you. So when you write it down, you can see God answering it. You can see God moving. You can see the faithfulness of God happening in your life. Now, these are paper, and you might like paper. I'm a tech guy, so I just have a Word document, and I type on my computer, and that lets me type as much as I want about each of these things. So every night before I go to bed, I do my inventory. I take account of what happened to me that day, and is there anything I need to do the next day so that I don't sweep life under the rug? I use recovery to respond better to life and more healthy to life. There's a Bible verse, Proverbs 16:21. Let's read this one. Proverbs 16:21. A wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. Proverbs 16:21. So words have impact. You can probably remember, I can remember going back to kindergarten, getting a blue or gold star on my shirt button. And when I went home, my mom would say, what'd you get a gold star for? And I said, well, I put away chairs for the teacher and she gave me a gold star. And I can still remember that affirmation, those words of encouragement. I mean, it's been 60 years and I still remember it. It's still a positive thing. So in our recovery journey, we can make things right by using positive reinforcement, by being intentional with our words. And that's a great scripture verse to remember. Being pleasant in your words. The last fill in the blank is P for periodic inventory. Periodic inventory. So you could be doing your inventory once a week, once a month, once a quarter. You know, in step 10, it just says we're going to do an inventory. It doesn't give you details of how often. Now, in my recovery, what I found that works best is the daily inventory and the as-needed, the ongoing inventory. Those are my two things that I use. Feel free to use any of the three that have been mentioned tonight, ongoing, daily, or periodic. The idea is that you're examining your life, examining your progress, examining changes that you want God to make in your life, because we can't change ourselves, but with God's help, we can agree with His changes for ourselves. There's a verse, Ephesians 4:29. Can we read this one together? Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Ephesians 4:29. This one really convicts me. Because when I'm using sarcasm and put-downs, you know, I'm violating this godly principle, and I'm sowing discord instead of harmony and agreement and peace. So follow the scripture. When you slip, admit to God and ask for the Holy Spirit to convict you before you speak and make that same mistake again. So as an action plan, there's four items that you can consider doing here at the bottom of your handout. Number one, you know, do your daily inventory, you know, which means you have to be aware that you're hurting somebody, and then you have to take action. So recovery is not a mental game. You actually physically have to go and say something to another person to relieve the conflict. So make your inventory and follow up with the amends. Number two, consider doing this daily journal idea and a daily inventory idea, either on paper or online. Number three, you know, use scripture verses. You know, these scripture verses are instructional and they may hit you. The Bible has thousands of great encouraging words. Find some verses that mean something to you and ruminate on them, remember them, call them to mind. Even use them to encourage other people with. And number four, keep working the steps and the principles. You're here tonight, so you're working your recovery. This is great. If you've never been to a step study, consider signing up for a step study. If you've done The Journey Begins, which is the first step study, and you've had maybe a year of sobriety or progress in your life issue, consider doing the second step study, The Journey Continues. If it's been more than a year or two since your last step study, consider starting a new one, because you're a different person now, 1 or 2 years later. You've got different life issues that you want to focus on. That's working your recovery. It's also working your recovery being an accountability partner. So when you get those prayer cards in each week, really pray for them and really contact and touch the person. If you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. If you have a sponsor and you've done a step study, consider going to leadership training and becoming a volunteer leader. So there's a whole bunch of things you can do to continue your recovery to stay healthy. And how am I doing, Mr. Timekeeper? I get a thumbs up, so thank you for listening, and God be with you.